Now hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You know, this is one of my favorite Sundays of the year, Christ the King Sunday. It's the culmination of our liturgical year, the last Sunday of the Christian year, the Sunday where everything comes together and we see Jesus is King. So we dwell in the now and not yet kingdom between his incarnation and his coming again. Today is the day that we celebrate the now of the kingdom, the very presence of Christ the King among us. You know, next week we'll start Advent. We'll begin longing in the not yet of the kingdom. But today we rejoice. But I ask you, when I say King, what image comes to your mind of a king? Perhaps it's the image that Israel has as they call out to Samuel, "No, but there shall be a king over us, that we may be like all the other nations, a king that may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles, a king that will dominate over our enemies, a king that will steal the spoils of others and bring them to us, that we might be mighty and they might be small." And even after God says, if you get a king, this king will take your sons to be in his army, your daughters to be in his court, your food and the produce of your land to be his own and no longer yours. The people choose slavery under a king rather than freedom under God. Or perhaps the vision you have of a king is the wicked despot. The king like Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who as the people come and say, "Your father laid a heavy yoke upon us, ease it and we will follow you." And Rehoboam says, "Oh, my finger is greater than the loins of my father, and that will be the yoke that I put upon you. He disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions." And the kingdom is rent apart. Perhaps the vision you have of a king is like the vision that Rome had of Caesar, the ruler who brutally oppresses the people, cuts down any hint of rebellion by nailing its leaders and all who might follow them to crosses lining the roads, putting them to public shame in a demonstration of power. Perhaps it's the vision of a king dressed in splendid clothing and living in luxury. Perhaps it's a more modern version of a king, the king that we kind of have from our British heritage, a king that's a novelty or a curiosity, a figurehead, a quaint reminder of the past that we trot out for ceremonial functions. Now I submit to you that the church over the ages, and perhaps even the church today, has held all of these visions of a king. But I challenge you today on Christ the King Sunday to a new vision. A vision like Jeremiah, who looks out and sees a vision of a king like a shepherd guarding his flock. A king who will deal wisely, execute justice and righteousness in all the land. A king who will save. A king who will be called by the name, "The Lord is our righteousness." Or perhaps a vision of a king that rules over a kingdom, a transforming kingdom, like Isaiah saw. A king that comes as a shoot out of the stump of Jesse, a branch growing from the roots of the kingdom of David. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. Listen to this transforming kingdom. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nation shall inquire of him, and his dwelling place shall be glorious. Challenge you to see the king that John on Patmos saw, seated in the throne saying, "Behold, I make all things new." So John looks out and he sees no temple in that city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations walk by its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory to it. Its gates are never shut by day. There will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of all the nations, all peoples bringing glory and honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nothing unclean will enter it. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And from that place, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flows from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the streets of that city. And on either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will need no lamp of the sun, for the Lord will be their light. They will reign forever and ever. A king who brings healing and light and life. That's the king that Luke proclaims throughout his gospel. On this Christ the King Sunday, our gospel tells of the coronation of this king, a king that was proclaimed by the angel Gabriel to Mary. He said, "Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." This is the kingdom that Christ proclaims in the synagogue as he begins his ministry. A kingdom in which there is healing. A kingdom where the good news is proclaimed to the poor. liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and all for the year of the Lord's favor. A kingdom that is manifest in the works of Christ. As the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor hear the good news of the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom that characterized the early church. As the apostles and the people gathered, they had all things in common. They sold everything that they had and distributed to those who were in need. And day by day, they attended temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day. This is the kingdom and the King that we celebrate today. But it is not without temptation and trial. To look and see the kings of the world as our example. This is what Satan does in the wilderness as he carries Christ. Christ, who has been fasting for 40 days, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread and eat. If you are the Son of God, bow down before me and I will give you everything. If you are the Son of God, tempt God. Cast yourself off the height of the temple and let the angels bear you up." Satan tempts Jesus with pleasure and comfort, with the power of dominion and oppression, tempts him to flaunt his power and his position, his privilege with the Father, like a spoiled brat. When the devil had ended every temptation and Jesus has refused, Luke records Satan departed from him until an opportune time. Today in our gospel, we see that opportune time when Jesus is once again tempted to abdicate his throne, to forego his coronation. For see, the cross is the throne. We see in the trial of Jesus a mockery of the kings of the world. Herod dresses Jesus in fancy robes and sends him back to Pilate. The soldiers place a reed in his hand instead of a scepter, a crown of thorns instead of gold upon his head. They write in mockery, "This is the King of the Jews," as in the charge of his crucifixion. And yet Jesus holds it as a throne. The people watch to say, "What will Jesus do?" The leaders cry out with a challenge, "If you would be our king, if you would do what we want you to do, if you are the Christ, save yourself." The soldiers taunt him. "Hey, King of the Jews, where is your power against my sword? Where is your army, O King?" The criminal next to Jesus tries to bargain for his own gain and comfort, to be saved back into his own life. "Jesus, save yourself and save me. Then I can go back and being who I always was." Jesus does not respond to the powers of the world as they attempt to make mockery of him. Instead, he makes mockery of the powers of the world. Instead of Adam cast out from the garden naked and ashamed, Jesus sits on his throne, the cross, naked and unshamed and unshameable. It's only the second criminal who recognizes the true power of the kingdom and the nature of Jesus as the king. He says to him, "Jesus, remember me." No question, no challenge, no self-serving motive. Simply, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Listen closely to the response of Jesus. Amen, I say to you, today, not tomorrow, not sometime in the future, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus proclaims his kingship today. Then he embarks upon a campaign against the forces of sin and death. He tramples hell and Satan under his feet and rises victorious on the third day. Today on Christ the King Sunday, we proclaim the now of the kingdom, a kingdom of reconciliation, not retribution, a kingdom of plenty and not want, a kingdom of healing and freedom, a kingdom of glory and not shame. And today, this very day, we come to this table for the victory feast of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come to celebrate the defeat of sin and death and all the powers of darkness. Today, my friends, we celebrate. We go out into the world proclaiming the kingdom today. The kingdom won by Christ over all the forces of darkness. But we're still dwelling in the now and not yet. And so, as the forces of darkness still present in this day threaten to overwhelm us, we're called by the psalmist, be still and know. The same words that Jesus uses to calm the wind and the waves that threaten to capsize the boat with the disciples. Be still. Be still and know that God is God and Christ is King. Be still and recognize the now of the kingdom of God. As the forces of darkness threaten to overwhelm us, we cry out, remember me, Lord Jesus. Remember me in your kingdom. We hear Jesus say, amen and amen. Today you are with me. And as the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil threaten to consume us, we stand firm in the truth that I am a child of God, one in whom Christ dwells and delights, and I stand in the unshakable kingdom of God. These are truths, my friends. And now, I want to invite you to stand with me. Say the canticle for morning prayer that proclaims this kingdom daily for us. Let us stand and say the Surge Illuminare. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. For behold, darkness covers the land, deep gloom enshrouds the people. But over you the Lord will rise, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will stream to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. Your gates will always be open. By day or night they will never be shut. They will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Violence will no more be heard in your land, ruin or destruction within your borders. You will call your walls salvation and all your portals praise. The sun will no more be your light by day. By night you will not need the brightness of the moon. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen and amen.